Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans wrapped up rookie minicamp on Friday. Joining us now to break down what he saw is TD, Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, appreciate you for joining us. I do want to get into what you saw from J.C. Latham and Tavondre Sweat and the rookies that we saw out in the field. But first, I want to start with the coaching staff, because like I said, it's as much of an orientation for the coaching staff as it was for the rookies and the new guys in town. So what did you take away from Brian Callahan and kind of his style, how he ran practice, how he interacted with some of the guys on the field on Friday?
Well, the first thing I took away from was they have a very extensive stretching process and warm-up process that they go through. So that was totally different. Just watching Brian Callahan, he kind of touched each different position group and worked his way around, which is something that I would imagine he's going to have to do, you know, as someone who's getting acclimated to being a head coach. I like the interaction with Denard Wilson, Tracy Rocker. The detail, though, of Bill Callahan was outstanding. You know, that is something I hadn't seen before, just that extension of or extensive breakdown of everything from the ground up. These guys are getting, in essence, rebuilt, you know, so that was good to see. And then Frank Bush, some of the things that he was doing with the linebackers as far as like having catch with them with the softball and working on their agility and reaction and speed and everything all in one.
TD, Teron Davenport is with us. You bring up Bill Callahan. I loved looking at the videos of Bill Callahan working with J.C. Latham and Olga and Bertha, the 380-pound sleds that Bill Callahan invented, and J.C. Latham kind of working through the drills with that. So what did you see from J.C. Latham? And I guess more specifically, how did you or what did you take away from the interaction between Bill Callahan and J.C. Latham?
Yeah, I think what I saw from J.C. Latham was a guy that's very coachable. And he was pretty smart just in figuring out how he had to go about attacking Olga and Bertha. You know, that was the first rep. It was tough for him. And I know people saw that and they panicked and this, that, and the third. But this is something new that they haven't dealt with before, right? So you got to figure out the technique. And once he got it done, he did well. But it was the attention to detail. Just having him know, okay, look, press your forehead against the pad. You got to hold your hands this way. Turn them a little bit. Turn. Now you got it. And then just being right on top. He was right on top of these guys, giving them direction and coaching. And that was really good.
Now, TD, what other guys do you think stood out this weekend in rookie minicamp? And then some of the veterans, what was it, five veteran players were there as well?
Yeah, William Jackson, the former first-round pick of the Bengals, a cornerback out of Houston, he was there, and so was Shane Ray. And he was a first-round pick by the Broncos way back when, 2015. And I was actually impressed with Ray, how he was working through the bags. You know, you kind of felt the power or heard the power when he was hitting them and turning his hips, and he showed acceleration, et cetera. So that was good. As far as the rookies that stood out, I mean, watching Tavondre Sweat, his footwork, I thought that was impressive. And just the way, you know, he was working through the bags and he was doing the bag drill also. Cedric Gray, I thought it was pretty cool seeing him just kind of, you know, call the plays to the defense when he had the opportunity to do so. So those were some of the things. But it wasn't really one of those practices where you pull so much out of, you know what I mean, because it just wasn't. I don't know any other way to put it.
It's a bunch of individual stuff and you know, drills and stuff like that, so I can understand where it's sort of, yeah, you see some things, but because they're not actually, you know, a full-fledged practice, you can't really see, you know, how this player will adapt or adjust to certain situations. So I understand that part. Now, TD, we've had this discussion, and I'm sure you've heard it, just like everybody else, the whole left tackle, you know, body composition, all this other stuff. What do you make of it? Because obviously it's becoming a big thing here in the city, where people are calling in and saying, well, he doesn't look like a left tackle, or he doesn't look like a right tackle. What do you make of all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, what does a left tackle or right tackle look like? And have these people calling saying he doesn't look like one? Have they seen one in person? You know, so just, I get it. You know, you might hear analyst A say something and you take it and run with it. But I don't really put anything into that. I feel as though it's all about what you do when you get on the field. Like, I don't really get into, hey, this is the way. Within reason, obviously, right? Like, if you know, if somebody is 280 pounds, I'm not going to say, like, hey, look, that's what a receiver is supposed to look like. You know what I mean?
But exactly.
You, within reason, there's – I think it's really about more what they do when they get out there.
Mm. Okay, now let's transition over to the receivers really quickly. The addition of Tyler Boyd, how does Treylon Burks fit in this? We've heard what Brian Callahan said about Treylon. We're getting him to learn all the positions, which I think, looking at it, just basing upon my experience, it's a good thing for Treylon to learn all of the positions, because they feel that he's the one guy that they can use multiple ways and not the other guys. So how do you feel about, you know, the Treylon and the Tyler Boyd and how good this will be for not just the offense, but for Will Levis?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is important for him to know all three positions and be able to do each of them pretty fluently, because that's the only way that he's going to increase his opportunities to get on the field. You got to be able to – somebody needs a breather, you got to be able, hey, Treylon, get in there and go right in and not miss a beat as far as, like, not knowing what you're doing and everything. So – I think that's something that's essential for him. You get Tyler Boyd in there, and to me, it's very Will Levis friendly, because he's a guy, you know where he's going to be. You know he's pretty reliable catching the football. He's been productive in this system. And actually, Levis himself said he's looking forward to learning the offense from him and having him be the guy out there to show the receivers the way each route is supposed to be run. I think that's just an example of how he could be an extension of the coach. But again, his reliability, like, it's not flashy, you know what I mean? He's not that guy that's going to, you know, get you 150 yards and three touchdowns, but that six receptions for 80 yards with four of them being first downs, that's going to be critical.
Deron, my Sunday night got so much better when Brandon Nimmo hit the home run last night. I was about to really be in a bad mood. The Mets were going to get swept by the Braves. I was going to have to hear it from Chase, from Jared, and all my other friends that are Braves fans. So thank God we won that last game. It was not.
Yeah, Jared
not looking
had the home run
earlier. Like, just to twist the knife a little bit more, the former Met first round pick. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is just becoming a nightmare. So thank goodness we got that. All right, so Teron, as you assess where they are right now with the Titans, this is a tough question, but do you feel better about their roster and direction now as opposed to maybe 1 year ago in the spring when you looked at what they were dealing with?
Yeah, I would feel better, because it does seem like, not seem like, there is a change, there's a shift. And last year was just kind of the same old, okay, they're going to run the football and play tough defense and everything has to go perfect and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas it seems like this year it's going to be more wide open. You have just a new staff with fresh energy and those types of things. And then you look at the talent that the roster has gotten. I mean, you add Calvin Ridley, you add L'Jarius Sneed, those guys, right? Cheeto, Awuzie. You look at, you know, the rookies that are coming in. You look at Tony Pollard. And obviously you lost some talent, Danico Autry and Derrick Henry, Azeez Alshire, Christian Fulton. But, I mean, I think it's a pretty good trade-off, and there's kind of like a launching point now where it's like, okay, let's see how this year goes, and it could be something that could spring you into something big. So I think that's the key. And the coaching staff, the addition of the staff, that defense, man, I'm looking forward to watching them.
Now, TD, have they added to the safety position? I haven't seen anything, but have they? If they haven't, when do you plan on them addressing it? Do you see more so mid June, after June 1st cuts, into June, July, or do you see something sooner than that? Because there are a few guys out there still that are good players that haven't got signed at that position?
Yeah, I would say mid-June into July, kind of like along that DeAndre Hopkins schedule from last year. I would say that Marcus May, he obviously has a history with Denard Wilson, so there will be some crossover there as far as like helping him. Oh, this concept is like what we did that concept, you know, what we did this way in with the Jets. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So it should help. But no, I mean, they haven't done anything at this point. I definitely, you know, Matthew Jackson, man, I remember watching him in training camp last year, coming away impressed with him. And I think, you know, because that was the last time we got to watch full practices. Mm-hmm. But I think that's somebody that he and Mike Bush, those are guys that could end up being a option also. Mike Brown, rather, excuse me. They could be options, you know, as far as depth.
We're talking with TD, Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Speaking of on the defense, Cedric Gray, the fourth-round pick inside linebacker out of UNC, it does sound like he is, maybe I'm not going to say necessarily the leader in the clubhouse, but absolutely in contention of being the green dot. And I've heard both sides of the coin of, you know, why are we so concerned about who's wearing the green dot versus concerns about a rookie having that responsibility. How do you feel about that? And what did you see from Cedric Gray? Do you think that he is ready to take on that responsibility?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, like to base it off of one half-speed team period, that would be foolish
totally
of me to even
fair.
Do that.
Yeah, small
so
sentences.
I'm not going to say he's ready or not, but I did see him getting the opportunity to do so. And really, the whole thing in it all is if you have a player – that has like the sideline to sideline range, the speed that he plays with. You want to make sure, and there's always going to be a transition because you're learning, right? There's a lot you're learning and feeling out. So you're not going to play as fast as you normally do right away. So you have that already. But then having an added layer of where, okay, I got to know where everybody else is too. That could cause him to have a little bit of hesitation, or not even hesitation, but just be a step slower just because there's more processing. So I think that's really the big concern or question if you have a rookie just taking on that role. But, I mean, he said that he's done similar things at North Carolina, and he's a very experienced player from college, so that should help him, but there's no way to know right now.
T'Vondre Sweat, we were listening to his press conference last week, and we were all dying laughing in here listening to him. He's a fun personality, a super, super likable guy. Obviously, a lot of questions about the weight and the diet and the foods that he can or can't eat, and I understand why the Titans want to keep things as vague as possible and not give a specific number because they don't want it to constantly be about exactly what weight T'Vondre Sweat is at. But what did you take away from his press conference and the small sample size that we saw on the field on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, look, the footwork I thought was pretty impressive, and you could tell that he was in something else other than football. And basketball was a sport, something that he told me at the Senior Bowl. So you have that. I thought that was impressive, just his footwork, working the bags. His press conference, I mean, really it came down to, okay, it seems like he's taking things – like he's in that serious role now where – he'll be a little, you know, a little bit of personality come out. He'll joke a little bit, but it seems like he's, all right, man, it's time to go to work. And what I'll do is establish myself, and then that personality will come out a little bit more and more. And I kind of like that. I think, you know, the fact of it's he's looking at it as a business approach, you know, and as things go along, as his comfort level increases, then his personality will come out a little bit more. But it was different from what we got, you know, the previous time we spoke to him after he was drafted.
Switching to the quarterbacks, we heard Will Levis speak on Thursday. And he said one thing that really stood out to me. He said, look, I know that Brian Callahan has worked with Peyton Manning and Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford and all these great quarterbacks. And he said, no disrespect to them, but I want to be me. I don't want to be those quarterbacks. And I liked that, frankly. And I do kind of feel like that's what Brian Callahan has perhaps been telling Will Levis is, look, we want you to be you. We want you to be your kind of quarterback. We want you to lead your style and have your personality. What do you take away from that? Maybe how Brian Callahan and the rest of the offensive coaching staff is bringing Will Levis along in the early stages of this season?
Yeah, and with that, he said he wants to be the next one, you know, so I think that's accepting, understanding what it is and accepting it and saying, okay, I want to carve my own mark out too. And I think, you know, I actually spent Friday night and half of Saturday with Levis at Lipscomb Academy. He did a passing camp there. QB Motion came down from Canada, and they work on his mechanics and stuff. They've done so since he was at Penn State. And he has said that, you know, being able to work with these kids, it kind of helped him, right? It helps him remember some of the things that he has to work on too. I thought that was cool. But as far as, like, I think this is going to be a pretty big year for him, you know. And as far as looking at the way Callahan and Bo Hardigree and Nick Holes, as far as the way those guys are allowing him to be him, it's just that, right? They're filling him out. But they love the intensity that he brings. They love, the way he's kind of taken on and has that aura of someone who's willing to, you know, shoulder the burden of the franchise, the way it's kind of being put on him. So that's all good. And I like the fact that they're letting him be him. And you know, obviously they're watching Joe Burrow. They're watching Peyton Manning. They're watching Matthew Stafford for the install process, but I think it's just that, you know, to help with just getting it down and everything. So, yeah, they're in good shape.
Last one from me, TD. Whenever the Titans signed Tyler Boyd, of course, the conversation then became about, okay, well, what does this mean for Treylon Burks? And since then, there's been a lot of buzz about potentially Treylon Burks being on the trade market. What do you think about that?
Why? That's my question. Why? Why should he be on the trade market? This is an organization. I mean, you look the last 3 years. I mean, so many people cried about a lack of depth. You have depth now. Mm-hmm. Why trade? And it's not like he's making $16 million. There's no reason to trade him. He's still on a very manageable rookie contract, and he's still someone who has potential. Why trade him? What's the sense of urgency to do so? That's really the way I look at it.
And I think that's the question, that if you somehow, some way find a desperate team like maybe the Chiefs that, you know, need a receiver and they offer you something that is really attractive, then that is the reason why you would do it. But I'm with you, TD, that why now? That, draft capital and next year's draft.
I ain't helping Kansas City out no more. Yeah, they don't need no more help.
To do what? You know, get an extra pick, an extra sixth round pick, and next year's draft.
They don't need no more damn help. They got the best quarterback in the league. That's help enough.
Find your own players. TD, you're the best. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate it.
Appreciate you, TD.